The purpose of this life is the preparation for the hereafter. The purpose of this life is the preparation for the hereafter.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Once again we thank Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal for this wonderful moment in which we're looking at one of our series, What Happens After Death. And in today's discussion, we are going to look at the deceased, the condition of the deceased. Is he aware of his surroundings when the soul has been removed from his body? That is what we're going to look at today. So our topic of discussion for today is, the deceased is aware of his surroundings even after Malak al-Maut has removed his soul. What happens is, many a times people ask a question again to say, well, okay, fair enough, we have understood, we have heard that when Malak al-Maut removed the soul from the body, is the mayit be able to know who is bathing them when it is ghusl? Is the mayit aware of what will be happening in his surroundings? Is the mayit aware of the people who be gathered making supplications for him? These are some of the questions that are asked by so many people. And before we go, we carry on further. We'd like to quote a beautiful narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he states that, recite salutations upon me abundantly, for verily it is purification for you. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there is a beautiful narration from Hadrat Mujahid. Says that, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that when a person dies, he is aware of his condition from the time of his ghusl right up to the time of going to his grave. So this narration, what do we learn from this narration? Number one is that the moment we start to make a ghusl of the mayit is aware, the mayit knows who's around him, the mayit knows everything that is happening during that time. So there is one most important thing that we have to be aware of, that we have to be very careful of, is that we shouldn't say things that might hurt the mayit. He can hear, after all. We shouldn't mention some of his things that are not pleasant to be mentioned. We shouldn't mention some of his secrets. If he shared with you a secret during his lifetime, you shouldn't stand in one corner instead discussing about whatever he told you during his life. For after all, the hadith mentioned that he is aware of the person, he is aware of whomsoever will be making ghusl to him. Right up to the time of going to the grave, the mayit can see all of these things. So we should be very, very aware when we lay our loved ones and we are bathing them, we are making ghusl to them, let us supplicate for them in our hearts. We mustn't say such things that they wouldn't want to hear, even if when they were alive. So why would we say such things now when they have left this dunya? Now thereafter we find that the angels are present. The angels are present whenever all of this will be happening. How is that possible? Hadrat Amr ibn Dinar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reported that the body of anyone who dies is in the care of an angel. Listen to this, this is a very fundamental point. The body of anyone who dies is in the care of an angel which looks towards his body, observing his ghusl, and observing how he is being transported. And the angel says to that person, listen, listen to how the people are praising you. This is another beautiful riwayah, as in when a person is being, they're making ghusl of the mayit, he is in the company of the angel who will be observing everything. And it is a very good opportunity for those, for the remaining family members or the remaining friends of the deceased to supplicate for him, to make dua for him. Whatever you'll be doing during that time, make sure that you are making the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal inside your heart. You are making the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. You are supplicating inside your heart so that Allah makes it very easy for him. As you know, the malaika, the angel will be present. So the angel say, if the angel happens to say ameen, you know that the dua, when the angel says ameen, there is high possibility of your dua getting answered. So instead of us again being engaged in vain talk, instead of us again trying to take the things that belong to the mind, as it is the norm nowadays. Nowadays people are worried about the material things. They're worried about what the mayit left. They are worried about what kind of property the mayit has. We are constantly worried about in his bank, what bank balance does the mayit have? And we start discussing these issues whilst the mayit is being birthed. Whilst the mayit is still within us. Without the mayit also not even being buried, we are already discussing these things. This is something which is shameful to start off with. Let's put ourselves in the condition. Would we love to hear people talking about our property whilst we are on our deathbed, whilst we are waiting to be carried to our resting place? None of us would love that to happen to them. So why would we love to do something like that to one of our beloved members? So it is rather important that we recite a lot of salutations, a lot of invocations, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to have mercy on this departed soul. Surat Bakr bin Abdullah Madni radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that, I was informed that when a person dies, his soul is given in the care of an angel, yes, who observes the condition of his ghusl and kafan. And if he could speak, then he would have forbade the people from crying. We do understand it will be a very sad moment. It will be a very emotional moment, especially for those that are close to the mayit. To be very, very emotional and sad scenario. So what is the best thing to do in that particular moment? The best thing to do is, yes, you can shed a tear, but with that tear, if you couple the tear with supplication on behalf of the mayit, we'll find that it will be more better for the mayit. For this narration is telling that if the mayit could speak at that moment, he would have forbade the people from crying. It doesn't mean that you do not love your passed away deceased, your passed away relative, your passed away friend, if you do not shed a tear. But if you, what is better for a person, to make dua or to cry for the mayit? What will be better, to cry or to make supplication on his behalf? Without a shadow of doubt, the mayit will be much happier if he hears us supplicating for them instead of crying for the mayit. And another important point, when we are bathing the mayit, is a very, very fundamental point. This is for us to treat our loved ones, to know what to do when we are faced with these situations, what to do when our loved ones pass away. It can be in your family, it can be your neighbor, it can be your relative, it can be your friend, or it can be that it's any Muslim brother or sister, and it so happens that you are the only person who is there, or you are the only person who is capable or who has the knowledge of what to do when a person dies. Hadrat Abi Dunya radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported from Hadrat Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu saying, the deceased recognizes everything. The deceased recognizes everything, who is there, who is doing what, recognize all of these things, to the extent that it says to the one giving it ghusl, be gentle when giving ghusl to me. It says, be gentle when giving ghusl to me. And the angel say to it, while it is in this bag, listen to the praises of the people. When you are bathing the mayit, it is always good to have somebody who is more closer to the deceased, for they will, out of love and out of respect and out of honor, they will try and fulfill the wishes of the mayit. Yes, without a shadow of doubt, there are Muslim brothers who are willing to also sacrifice their time and sacrifice whatever they have in order to make sure that the mayit has been bathed, to make sure that the mayit has been given a proper Islamic burial. But it is also very wise that if any members of the family are around, and if any members of the family are capable of bathing the mayit, then give them the opportunity, for they are grieving the most. Without a shadow of doubt, other people will be grieving, but the most people who will be grieving are the ones that are closer to the mayit. So if we give them, they will wash the mayit in a more gentler manner. Here the hadith tells us that the mayit will be saying, be gentle when giving ghusl to me. As we all know that the hadith I once narrated before, that due to the removal of the soul, it so happens that there are certain parts of the body that still feel a little bit of pain. Hence, when the mayit is being bathed, he asks us to be gentle whenever we are bathing him. And then the hadith carries on further to say, and the angels say to it, whilst it is still lying there, that listen to the praises of the people. It brings us to another very important fundamental thing that we have to observe whenever we are bathing the mayit. Whenever we have a mayit in our midst, what do? Let us try and mention good about the mayit. Let us try and talk respectable things about the mayit. Let us not say bad things about the mayit. For if we say all those good things, it pleases the mayit. As another narration states, that when a person dies, we are the witnesses. So if we mention something which is good, it will be regarded as so, it will be recorded as so. If we mention good about a person, then it will be recorded as so. If you say, this person was a very good person, this person was a very humble person, this person was a very honest and truthful person, this person was one of the ashik, one of the lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be recorded as so. And then on the other side, if you mention the bad things about the mayit, remember, we are regarded as witnesses, it will be recorded as such. So let us refrain from saying such things that would hurt the mayit. Now, which brings us to another fundamental point when we are carrying the bier to where it is, to the resting place. The hadith, the narrations state to us that, reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that take a janazah swiftly toward its grave. Because if he is a good person, a very vital point, listen to this, if he is a good person, take him forth towards blessings, and if he is not a good person, then let him be removed from your shoulders as quickly as possible. What a hadith. If he is a good person, then take him swiftly towards his resting place. For why would you want to deprive a person towards something which is good? If he's a good person, himself he'll be saying that, please hasten and take me to my resting place. But if he's a bad person, the hadith mentions here that then let him be removed from your shoulders quickly. These are the consequences of the way that we live our life in this dunya. We are good people, this is the result, this is what happens to us. But if we are bad people, then again, this is exactly what happens to us. The people are told, the people want to get rid of you in a very quick manner because you are a sinful person. You are a person who never followed the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You proclaim, or we proclaim about the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet when it comes to implementing in sunnah, we lack. When it comes to implementing the sunnah of the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, what do? We leg. If you love Allah Azza wa Jal, then you should love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how do you love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? By implementing. One of the things is by implementing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beautiful sunnah. Quoted from Hadrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood by those slain in the Battle of Badr and said, "Oh, such and such person, the son of such and such a person, did you get that which your Rabb promised you? Because I found the promise of my Rabb to be true." Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu addressed, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are addressing bodies in which there are no souls." He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You are not able to hear my word better than them. The difference is that they cannot answer, they cannot reply to me." Subhanallah, this is another clear proof and evidence from the beautiful narration of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He addressed the people who were slain in the battle of Badr to say, "Well, this is the promise of Allah." And the companion was next to the Prophet and said, "Ya Rasulullah, you are addressing bodies in which there are no souls." And the Prophet said, you are not able to hear my word better than them. Meaning to say, well, they can hear even better than us. Their sense of hearing is more sharper than when they were alive. So it takes us to another very fundamental position as well when we go to the graveyard. My respected brothers and sisters in the religion of Islam, we all know each and every person has work to do. We all know that we all have certain tasks and duties in this life. But let us try and do things at the appropriate time. Wisdom, part of wisdom is to say something at the right place and at the right time, and to do something at its rightly appointed time. That is part of wisdom. So when we take our beloved to the graveyard, what we do when we sit, when we are at the grave, when we are at the graveside, let us refrain again from worldly talk. Let us refrain from answering phones. Nowadays it has become a norm that we sit, we spend lot time chatting on our mobile phones, then we make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a sad state indeed. So let us try and refrain from that. When we take our loved ones to the graveyard, let us do what we are there for. Let us recite the Holy Quran on their behalf. Let us make a lot of supplication on their behalf. Let us send a lot of durood upon our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There is no better supplication better than the one which he started with the blessings and salutations upon our master, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and also ending with the durood upon our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is better for the mind. That is a best gift that you can give the mind than getting involved in our worldly talk. So my respected Madani channel viewers, with this narrations from our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we have to try and understand that time is something which is very, very important in our life. We do not have much of time in this dunya. We might think that we have a lot of time in this dunya, but the actual fact, the reality is we do not have much time in this dunya. Our time is very, very, very limited. So why can't we spend the time in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal? Why can't we spend the time in sending salutations upon our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? How can this be possible in this lifetime? Yes, it is possible. How so? By, as I always like to mention, that we should try our utmost from wherever we are, that we try and join the Madani Ijtima in our locality, and we will gain a great amount of reward, insha'Allah. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The purpose of this life is the preparation for the hereafter. The purpose of this life is the preparation for the hereafter.